1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, I'm here.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. My name is Proteus. We are here, ladies and gentlemen, once again to do hashtag SmackMyPicksUp. Train keeps rolling on, ladies and gentlemen. UFC Fight Night 159, also known as Rodriguez versus Stevens. And if you're paying attention to those UFC rankings on ESPN Plus, it's number 17. It'll take place on September 21st, 2019 at the Mexico City Arena in Mexico City, Mexico. That's a lot of Mexicos, brother. I tell you what now. All right, so the Fighting Four is here. We had a little, we didn't know if we were all going to get here at the same time. Had a life get in the way here before we started the show, but we're all here. The Fighting Four is here. We're going to get it done. What we're going to do tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is we're going to do main event, co-main event, everyone's favorite segment of the show, hashtag spotlight by the night. I don't really have one of those right now, so maybe as the show goes on, we'll get to one of those. Then we're going to move on to hashtag a little bit of Amp Radio Rewind. And if we have time, there is some news and notes that I would like to bring up, especially with the California native in the house. So we'll get to that when we get to it. DJ Tony, I know I kind of slandered Pam last week with the South Carolina comment, but let's go ahead and bring her in right now. It's Pam from North Carolina.
Hola, ¿cómo estamos ahora?
Doing good. How are you?
Hi, bienvenidos a nuestra show hoy. Solamente ahora vamos a hablar español. How's everybody?
Wow. Yeah. Your Spanish is much better than ours, but yeah, I kind of got what you were saying there. Yeah, it's great. You know,
what's
languages
up?
Are easy when you
what's
just kind of pay attention. Wabba.
No, we would have to say, ¿qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa?
Well, when
hey,
we bring
pasa?
Marco in, let's all just
you
okay, pasa, okay?
Bitch.
¿Qué pasa?
Hey, Pammy,
and then you would say, ¿qué pasa, calabaza? Which means, what's happening, squash or pumpkin? ¿Qué pasa, calabaza?
Yeah, huh?
How's everyone?
We're doing good, Pammy. Thanks for coming out. I heard you had a little life getting in the way, so we won't get into that. But let me ask you a quick question. How was your viewing pleasure of last week's card? I'm going to ask everybody as we introduce. Did you have a good viewing pleasure of last week's card?
Yes, I did. Woo! I did. You know what? I did. Absolutely loved it. Great show.
Thanks for soldiering on. Let's go ahead and move on to the boss man himself, DJ Tony. Cue your music. It's Tony time, bitches.
No, now you're great. Now you're taking advantage of that. I can't do that. Hang on.
Coming at you from the 415, Dale. Uno, dos, tres.
Nothing? No? All right, never mind.
Wooly bully.
I mean,
Wooly bully. Isn't that what you, isn't that what Wooly bully starts off? One, two, tres, cuatro. Wooly bully. Wooly bully.
No, that's Pitbull. Come on.
Listen, you definitely got to isolate that audio, DJ Tony, and put that as the next one, the next show. Wooly Bully, ready? 1, 2, 3, Wooly Bully. Anyways, let me ask you real quick, DJ Tony, how was your viewing pleasure of this particular show? Did you watch it on ESPN Plus Live, or did you catch it later in the day?
I always watch it live, Proteus. As long as it's not at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm live and unedited just like we are. By the way, because we are your home for free, unedited combat knowledge. We love free, unedited combat knowledge.
Gratis.
No one gets
it?
Yes,
we definitely
do. You know what? Viewers, free. That would be an F. Unedited would be a U. You guys get it.
I get it.
Fun.
¿Qué pasó con los crickets?
Yeah, okay. Is there any chance
for
we can
sure,
move on
crickets.
To Marco right now? Is everybody okay with that? Is everybody okay if we move on to the star of the show? Great.
Yes.
And coming at us,
sí, pues claro
Texas,
que sí.
Hey, if you're going to sneeze, can you get out the room, please? One,
if
two,
I'm
going to
sneeze?
I was a Donald Trump joke. Come on, man. Come on.
Oh.
Just joking. Okay, this is a mess. All right. One, two, three. Coming at us. Deep from the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother. Boom, boom.
Marco from Waco, brother. Just for the record, I do not give a free and edit the combat knowledge. I guess to keep
¿Qué pasa?
The
¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa?
¿Qué pasa, vatos? ¿Cómo le va? ¡Viva la raza!
This, ¿verdad
there
que sí?
Is.
¡Órale!
This show is sponsored by television.
Yeah.
Okay, enough of the shenanigans and let's talk some MMA. Hey,
yes, sir. Let's
Tony,
go ahead and get down to it.
Tony, do me a favor. Resend me that email because I cannot find the stupid card in my email box.
I just did, Marco. I just did literally okay. About 2 minutes ago. You should have that right now. I'll resend it again. Hit it.
I see. I found it. Found it.
Three, two, one. To the featherweight division we go. Yair, I love fighting in Mexico City. Rodriguez, now that the UFC doesn't want to cut me anymore, against your boy, Jeremy. I'm going to show up early and get acclimated to this really high altitude Stevens. That's right, we call him the little heathen. Let me, guys, are you still there? Is everybody still there?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah,
let me go ahead and give you guys the odds and also their fighting acumen. Here we go. You're going to want to redo all of that, DJ Tony. It sounds terrible. Number seven, Yair Rodriguez. Number seven, Yair Rodriguez against number eight, as I mentioned, Little Heathen, Pantera. El Pantera versus Little Heathen. El Pantera is 12-2-0. Little Heathen coming at us at a 28-16-0, guys. El Pantera is going to have a little bit of the height advantage in this one. Looks like everything else. It is almost identical. Let me give you the odds real quick, Marco, before we get into it. Jeremy Stevens at a -115. Wow, what a shock right now. This is live odds from Five Dimes against Yair Rodriguez at a -105. Good God, Marco, make some sense of these odds for us. What you got, brother? Main event.
Look, this is a really good main event, man. They're very close odds. Oddly enough, Jeremy Stevens is not unfamiliar with Mexico City. He fought there a couple of times, and he has been winning there. So
yeah,
let's not sell this short.
No.
This is a measuring stick for freaking El Pantera, man, for Jair Rodriguez. Because, you know, he's been, you know, a lot of hype, a lot of flashy moves. But let's be honest, man, on his last fight, he was 1 second away from losing that fight because the Korean Zombie was kicking
Indeed.
His ass. Yeah. And then he got the elbow from hell and, you know, props to him for pulling it off. But if that elbow didn't happen, he would have been a 2-5 losing streak because he lost to Frankie Edgar prior to that. We know the story of him getting caught and coming back and all this stuff. You know, that is my managerial style. Got nothing to do with the fighting style. I think the kid is good. And the perfect measuring stick to know where you are, if you belong in the elite, is Jeremy Stevens. Because Jeremy Stevens, he's never going to be a champion, but he is the gatekeeper to the stars. If you can be Jeremy Stevens, you belong on the top 10, the top 5. You know, that is who you are. You get better fights after that.
it's not like they haven't been trying to get Jair Rodriguez cut proper fast. I mean, Japan, everybody beats Japan is an edge, but, you know, they gave him a name. Then they gave him Frankie Edgar, and it happened what happens, and the Korean Zombie, and he got lucky in that one. But this is the fight where the UFC is trying to find out, are you what we think you can be for the Mexican market? Because they need a Mexican star. Let's not be fools about that. That's why he's headlining this card. I'm picking Jair Rodriguez, giving him the slight edge just because of the home field advantage. And then, even though Jeremy Stephen went there to acclimatize himself, Jair lives in freaking Mexico, man. Come on. And his whole life has been an altitude and shit. And I think that the kid is not going to want to look bad in front of his home countrymen, countrywomen, his fans, you know. It's going to be exciting. We know that he can take a punch, you know. Korean Zombie to everybody in the kitchen, think I am, and he was able to handle it. I think it's going to be something flashy, man. The kid is got a knack for the flashiness. Somewhere on the third or fourth round, where Jeremy Stephen always gets in trouble, Jair is going to be able to catch him with something and get the TKO. So give me Jair Rodriguez with a late four-round TKO.
Okay. TKO in the fourth for Marco Pammy. You heard what Marco had to say.
And, oh, my God, I did not make a decision. I did not make a decision this time.
I know, right? What? I was going to say
Milagro.
Something. I was going. Go ahead, Pam.
Okay. Yair El Pantera Rodriguez versus Jeremy Stephens. This is going to be quite – I think this is going to be a really, really, really – fun fight. Both of these guys have a 71-inch reach, Yair being the taller one by 2 inches, Taekwondo black belt, boxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, great cardio, great hair, versus Jeremy Stephens, jiu-jitsu striking. I think the one thing that I have an issue about Jeremy Stephens is I agree with Marco that if you can beat him, then that's kind of like, you know, like your Red Rover, send whomever right over. And if he can break through that, then he's basically made his amends with Dana. But I think what happens with Jeremy Stephens, I think that he gets kind of tunnel vision and goes for that just knockout, that, you know, that straight knockout, that he's not kind of paying attention to what else is going around. And Yair, that dude is crazy. He's like one of those, like, those bending things that you see at the auto places, you know, that are all moving all different kinds of funky ways. That's what Yair does. You don't know where his punches are coming from. A leg kick's going to come from something. You don't know. He's that good. He's like one. He does, like, Matrix moves, man. That dude is crazy. But both of these guys have losses to Frankie Edgar. I don't know if you all knew that, but I am going with Yair, and I think it's going to be a fourth round TKO as well. I think he's going to be a little bit more acclimated to the altitude than Jeremy, even though Jeremy's been there before and he got there early. I think Yair is just going to be probably maybe the fresher fighter, and fourth round TKO for me.
Oh, same as Marco. Hey, can you? I don't understand you compared it to being at the auto mechanic. I don't understand what you're talking about there.
Yeah, no, you know those little, not the auto mechanic, like an auto, like a where they sell cars. You know those little air things that they look like a spaghetti noodle, and they're like flopping around all over the place.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know
all
what
right.
I'm talking?
Okay.
And they get all, like, funky, bendy and stuff like that. They bend in all these different funky positions. That's what Yair does, man. He's like, he does all these crazy Matrix moves. I don't know what those things are called. Anybody know what they're called?
No, it doesn't matter, Red. I think – hashtag Spanish word of the day.
Those chingaderas, you know. That's your word for today.
I think we can all figure that one out now that you explained it. I didn't know what you were saying in the first place, but – I got it now. Okay, DJ Tony, listen, you listened to what Marco said. You listened to what Pam said. I mean, this one is – Mexico City is definitely high on the list of taking down people who have cardio. Let's bring in Cain Velasquez into this one. I mean, that's why we have the fucking meme that says sea level Cain. So this one's a tough one, no matter where you're at, man. In my opinion, what are your thoughts, DJ Tony?
Mira, Proteus, lo que estaba pensando primero era que yo pensaba que Yair iba a ganar y le iba wrong show. Sorry, let me start this again. I apologize. I'm
no,
just
keep
behaving.
Going. Keep
okay,
going.
Listen.
I mean,
what I initially thought is just like Pam and Marco did, right? Initially, and you guys know this, right? So I grew up. Obviously, I wasn't alive when Bruce Lee was alive. At least I don't think I was. But I was always a Bruce Lee fan. That's why I got into initially to the karate. That's why I got into the kickboxing. Actually, that was more Jean-Claude Van Damme. But that's why I got into it, because I love the kicking. So I love those fighters, right? The Jeremy – sorry, not the Jeremy Stevens. The Yair Rodriguez's, the Lyoto Machida's, right? Those, you know, the Uriah Hall's. Those are my favorite fighters because that's what I grew up loving. However, that does not translate well in MMA. I'm going to give you a flashback that you guys are going to concur with, I'm pretty sure. Do you guys remember Cody Garbrandt versus Thomas Almeida. Do you guys remember that fight?
No.
All right. Very similar, right? So Thomas Almeida basically more into the Michelle Pereira type of thing of just, you know, all flash, maybe a little bit of over flash versus the actual fundamentals of the game. That's what Thomas Almeida is like, right? He'd rather throw a Showtime kick and get hit twice in the face as opposed to, you know, keeping your hands up and doing all the fundamentals. That's who Yair is, you guys. Like Pam said, he's not going to be able to throw those low kicks like he always does, but he's going to swing for the fences. And I think he's going to find Yair's chin. So I'm going with Jeremy Stevens, second round TKO over the highly touted Yair Rodriguez.
All right, guys. So let me get way in here, guys, because I think everybody brought up good points. Everybody's, you know, looking into this thing the way they should. But here's the thing. First of all, Pam, I think that you're racist against Jeremy Stevens' hair because, of course, you just said that, you know, of course, Yair Rodriguez has great hair. So
I bet you Jeremy Stevens doesn't even know what Tres Flores is.
I bet you he does because he's got a lot of Spanish ties. So I'm sure he knows
he's
what's going down.
He has a Mexican mother. Yeah.
Oh, does he?
Oh, here we go. See? Now we're beeping like we're backing up, like we're a truck. Beep, beep, beep. Anyways, can I get to my pick? You can.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you. Love you, Pammy. Love you, Marco. Okay, guys, so listen. I think that Jeremy Stevens is taking this one seriously. I think that, you know, Jeremy Stevens has been in the game a minute, maybe a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes. And he's really looking to, you know, make a statement. And, yes, like you guys just said earlier on, this is a big fight for Yair. You remember I brought it up earlier just quickly as you guys before I brought in Marco. But the UFC had we're going to fire you, Yair, because you don't want to take the fight that we want you to take, minute with Yair Rodriguez. Now they've put him on the main event in this fight night card in Mexico City because, yeah, like you said, Pammy, they need a star. Just like you said as well, Marco, they need a star. And I assume that's why the co-main event is exactly what it is too, but we'll get to that in a second. Jeremy Stevens has been there for a number of weeks. This reminds me of when, like I said, we had the Cain Velasquez fight in Mexico, first fight night. Yeah, against Fabricio. I was just trying to set it up. First fight on Fox against Fabricio, and Fabricio took it to town, you know, because Fabricio had been training up in the altitude. Look, guys, I think there's something very, very vital about showing up and showing up on time. I heard that Sergio Pettis came in on, like, Tuesday, so yesterday. Dude, not great. The elevation will kick your ass in this particular fight. I'm going to take Jeremy Stephens as well. DJ Tony, I'm going to ride with you. I think that Stephens putting in this extra time at the elevation, and of course, we know that he can knock anybody's head off. And yes, El Pantera is one of the best and most creative up-and-coming guys in this particular division. But I just think Jeremy Stephens has got this one. He's got his number. I think he's going to be able to get to Yair's chin. I think he's if he can not just throw those big haymakers all the time, like we had been saying, Marco, that Jeremy Stephens is very apt to do, if he can control himself and treat this as the fight that it is, that it's very serious. I think that Jeremy Stephens can take this one down. I think he's going to take it down second round KO. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is it really a hearty?
Pardon?
I said, is his mother really? I call my kids half beans, so is he really a half bean?
I don't know what you're saying right now. I can hardly understand.
I don't know what she's saying either. You sound muffled. What
I know,
are you saying, Tammy?
Oh. I don't know why. I think I was holding my. I don't know. I said, is he really a half bean? Do you know what a half bean is?
Oh, like
no
a half
clue.
Mexican?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's definitely
Jeremy
a half Mexican.
Stephens.
Thank you very much. Yet another
Jeremy
racist
Stephens
comment from Pam.
Jeremy Stephens.
That's what I call my kids,
Pam. Jeremy Stephens' mother is Mexican. He's married to a Mexican wife as well. And Yair Rodriguez, by the way, hasn't lived in Mexico for about 6 months. He's living in California. So there goes to show you.
Exactly.
That was part of Mexico, so it still counts.
I see. Here we go. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and move to the women's strawweight division. Of course, former champion Carla Esparza versus up-and-coming, perhaps, future champ Alexa Grasso. Let me give you guys their particulars. Please just hold one moment. Let's give you guys the odds on this one. Alexa Grasso at a minus 125. Carla Esparza at a plus 105, Marco. So, again, very tight odds on this one. So, Pammy, let me just give you the record, and then I'll throw to you, and then you can take it from there. Carla Esparza, number 8 versus number 9, Alexa Grasso, the Cookie Monster coming at us at a record of 14-6-0 against Alexa Grasso, 10-2. Of course, Pam, we have brought up on this show many times that I think the UFC is trying to, as we also said with the main event with Rodriguez, they would love, the UFC would love for Alexa Grasso to be a huge star for them in Mexico. Of course, that is her home country. Of course, Pammy, Alexa Grasso will have the height advantage, and everything is not really identical, but we'll throw to you. What you got here in the co-main event?
Okay, apparently either of these girls don't have a reach because I couldn't find it. But
yeah. Oh, I'll give it to you right now.
You know,
are you ready? Carla Esparza has a 63-inch reach, Alexa Grasso at 66 inches, according to the UFC.ca website.
Okay. I agree with what you said, that they're trying to make her a big star. I mean, you look at her. She's beautiful. She's charming. She's a cute little girl, young. Great record, 11-2. But what I'm looking at is her fight resume. Her last KO was 2014. She and both Carla are decisionators. Carla, you're looking at Carla with 3 KOs, 4 subs, 7 decisions. Alexa, 4 KOs and 7 decisions. So that makes them decisionators. I think that even though Alexa has the height advantage, has the reach advantage, boxing, BJJ. Carla's got that great wrestling background. She's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. And I think that her fight resume is a whole lot better. I think she has more experience. I'm going with, I'm actually picking Carla with the third round submission.
Okay. Marco, let's throw to you. What do you got going on here in the co-main event, brother?
Ah, man. I hate to disagree with Tommy here. But, well,
okay.
Carla Esparza, even though she was the inaugural champ, you know, we have seen her struggle against good strikers, man. And if Alexa Grasso has polished out her takedown defense, kind of spots herself for, down for a long night, a long three rounds. I send a plan to build freaking contenders for Jan Whaley, because you know Jan Whaley is an outstanding striker, and Alexa Grasso is more tailor-made for that kind of a matchup. Carla, at number eight, you know, she has been sleeping on the rankings ever since she won the title. She's like Jair Rodriguez, she's a perennial gatekeeper in the strawweight division. She's never going to contend again for another title. I mean, I'm sorry, Carla, because there is way better fighters on top of the division that will, you know, school you. She hasn't progressed, man. And she relies too much on her wrestling, and when that doesn't work, she doesn't find answers. I'm going to ride with Alexa Grasso. Like Pammy was saying, they are both decisionators. But Alexa Grasso is really good at putting combinations to the ring. If she keeps her at distance, she's going to jab the shit out of Carla Esparza and get a take at a straight 30-27. So give me Alexa Grasso on the cards at 30-27 unanimous decision. I'm back to form. I think I got a decision again. Yay!
Yeah. Okay, DJ Tony, let's throw to you, brother, because, you know, as Marco just mentioned, he's going with his decisionator title. What do you think here, brother? Do you think that Carla Esparza is improving, or do you think that Alexa Grasso also is improving? Because that's kind of the knock that we have had against Alexa Grasso in the past, DJ Tony, you and I, that perhaps she's been put on this stage a little early.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, bro. I mean, she's been on her, put on the stage early and often. And like Pam says, she's pretty. She's very likable. I think probably the only bigger fan than I am of Alexa Grasso is probably Buffalo Blue and Grasso bandwagon. Here's the problem, though, guys. And if you know anything about Team Lobo, they're a boxing gym. I mean, they're now a full-fledged MMA gym, but they're basically a boxing gym. And if you look at their fighters, and the only fighters we can go off are the fighters that I know of, Pam's right. There's no doubt about it. Carla Esparza's game has not reached to the level of everybody else's in that division. And frankly, I think it was just the right time in the right place when she won the title. And keep in mind, she did it against a very, very green Rose Namajunas. Alexa Grasso, you guys, look at her losses. She struggled against wrestlers. And certainly Esparza is not at the level of Suarez, but it's a lot better than Alexa Grasso. So love Alexa Grasso. I think she has a lot of potential. I think she's going to get taken down and taken down often. Marco's right. Decision, 30-27 all across the board, and it's going to be Esparza.
Ooh, dissension.
Okay. You know, him and George St. Pierre, they got abducted together, Bronco. Don't worry about it. okay.
Thank
so,
you, right?
Guys, I think again, the altitude is going to take its toll on both fighters in this particular fight. I think, like Pam and DJ Tony, you have said, I think the wrestler is going to be able to take over here. Again, I think it's a lot of pressure on Grasso. And if Grasso is able to get this one done, yeah, guys, she's beat a former champion. She deserves in her home country. You know, if she gets that win, she deserves to move forward and maybe get into the talk about who's next for the champion. But, I mean, it's all kind of muddy water
right
now in a lot of divisions. Yeah, I know, but it's kind of, like I was saying, Marco, it's just kind of muddy waters in most divisions right now. You know, who's next? Is Namajunas going to come back? Is JJ going to get it? We don't know what's actually going to happen for Lee. So, again, it's muddy waters. I digress. I'm going to take Carla. I'm going to take the fact that she is used to grinding and she's going to be able to take that wrestling game to Grasso. Again, Grasso has not really shown me anything in the past couple of fights that she is able to go against a wrestler as strong as Grasso is, and or as Esparza is. My apologies. And I think Carla is gonna teach her a lesson, and maybe, you know, Grasso is gonna be able to learn from that. I think the crowd is gonna definitely be behind Grasso because, of course, her home country. But I think Carla is gonna be able to get it done. Guys, I'm going to take Carla in the second round. I'm gonna take her by TKO.
Wow!
And alone in an island. Alone in an island.
What? Yeah, you are definitely alone on an island, brother. You've been there before, but, you know, we'll see what happens. All right, so, ladies
Proteus,
and gentlemen, this is
Proteus, I didn't get a chance to do this. Sorry, guys. I didn't get a chance to do this, guys. And so my apologies because I was abducted by GSP. Shout out to GSP. But, you know, if we're going to talk about his Grasso, guys, We got to play it. Sorry. She deserves it. Shout out to Team Lobo and Alexa Grasso.
What up, Perv?
Well, I do thank you for cueing the music. Thank you very much, DJ Tony. Let's go ahead and throw to everyone's favorite segment of the show. Hashtag Spotlight for the Night. DJ Tony, let's start with you. DJ Tony, let's start with you on Spotlight Fight of the Night because you're the reason this is continuing on. I didn't think that this card was as deep as you did, but what's your Spotlight Fight of the Night, brother?
It should go without saying, but listen, I'm a big Team Lobo fan. I really am. I'm not joking. I think I do like what they're doing in terms of trying to create something there. I got to go with Irene Aldana, you guys. Irene Aldana, I think, has all the athletic tools to be something in this. She started late in her career in MMA, and certainly she's more of a boxer than she is anything, but she submitted Betch, which wasn't bad. I thought actually she beat Rocky, but I'm going with Irene Aldana, who, if you really look at her, guys, except for her fight with Tanya Evinger, where she was on antibiotics because she was really ill, she's been competitive in every single fight. I thought she beat Caitlin Chookagian. She actually was in a big brawl with Leslie Smith that I saw in person, UFC on Fox in Sacramento. So shout out to Sacramento. But, yeah, Irene Aldana for sure fighting a relative newcomer in Vanessa Mello. This should be a good fight, you guys. You know what? I'm going to take Irene Aldana finally living up to her full potential, meaning in Mexico City where they put her before. So I'm taking her with a early third round TKO over the Bailey, actually very solid fighter in Vanessa Mello.
You said newcomer though, so that's right. I mean the notable name there is Aldana, right? So good luck to her in that particular fight. Thank you, DJ Tony. I'm gonna go. Marco, were you saying pick me? Was that you?
Pick me.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. Spotlight Fight of the Night, brother.
Okay. Just because I love saying this name, Sierra Eubanks versus Betch Correa.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people pick on Betch Correa. She was a title challenger. And the girl, you see that gets knocked out or she knocks somebody out. I mean, she goes to fight. I think at this point of her career, you know, we have seen the ceiling for Betch Correa. And Sierra Eubanks, man, it's hard to say. She got more up, you know, like there's more up. I can't even find the word. Whatever. There's more future for Sierra Eubanks than Betch Correa. I want to pick Sierra Eubanks. And like I said, Betch Correa either knocks you out or she gets knocked out. So she's going to get TKO on the second round by Sierra Eubanks. And people are going to pick on Betch Correa again, but no, I think he's going to get some credit. She does give us entertaining fights. Sierra Eubanks, second round TKO.
No, I think this is a perfect fight for Correa, right? I mean, for Eubanks. Thank you, DJ Tony. I think this is a perfect fight for Eubanks because she has, you know, in the past not made weight. Hopefully she can make weight in this one. And like you said, Marco, Betch is a serious contender for her. I think this is a good litmus test for Eubanks. A good spotlight fight of the night, brother. Tam, let's go ahead and throw to you. What's your spotlight fight of the night?
Brandon Moreno versus Askar Askarov. So we are looking at the return of the not baby assassin, but the assassin baby, because he's not, like Marco said, he doesn't assassinate babies. But do you remember he was, I mean, my internet just went out, so I can't pull up anything. But he is 15-5 versus Askar Akharov, 10-0. I'm assuming that this is his debut because there is no UFC fight on there for him. Moreno has 2 KOs, 10 subs, and 3 decision wins and 5 decision losses. Askar has 3 KOs, 7 subs. So I think this is going to be a big grappling, a lot of groundwork, if you will. But I am picking Brandon Moreno, second round submission, with a chance to get back in Dana's good graces.
But he's going against an OV. Are you sure?
Yeah, I know, but I have to. Estamos en las in you know in la país de México. We are looking at altitude. I don't know if the OB is used to that kind of altitude, and I think they kind of set this fight up for Brandon Moreno to like his return, his return. He's going to be throwing some golpeazos, some chingazos, some patadas.
Moreno by?
Oh, second round sub.
Okay, so my spotlight for the night, guys, because we are swiftly running out of time. We're not going to have time to do news and notes at this particular point. I'm going to take the bantamweight fight between Sergio Pettis and Tyson Nam. I'm taking Tyson Nam, because I don't think that Sergio Pettis came in time for this particular fight. I'm taking Nam. I'm going to take him by second round TKO.
That is a bold prediction. I like
man.
It. Bold
prediction. Tyson Nam. I mean, seriously, though, Tyson Nam, he's been around for a while. I mean, I digress. Marco, let's throw to a little bit of MMA rewind. Amp Radio.
Before we
rewind.
Do the rewind? Before the rewind, who won last week?
No, let's throw to Amp Radio Rewind, and then I'll get into who won last week.
Okay.
Oh,
3, 2, right? 3, 2, 1.
Rewind.
Thank you, Marco. I love that you brought up who won last week. Of course, let me review. Everybody picked Gaethje in the main event. Everybody picked Gaethje by TKO, except for myself, who picked KO. But I gave everybody points. Okay, so Marco, you picked Gaethje by TKO in the fourth. Pam, you picked Gaethje by TKO in the first. You got that one right, because TKO and KO are the same, but you also got the round correctly. 3 points there. DJ Tony, you picked Gaethje by TKO, but you picked him in the second. Proteus, you picked Gaethje by KO in the first. Ding, ding, ding. So 3 points there as well. So Pam and I... Yeah, Pam and Proteus, because we do take TKO and KO in the same genre, tie. And everybody else picked Krylov. So guess what?
What? Man, Teixeira messed us up.
Yeah, Teixeira definitely messed us up. So we're going to talk about it, guys. Teixeira shocking the world, apparently, on Amp Radio. But let's go ahead and get into this, Marco. Justin Gaethje kind of doing what we thought he was going to do. A lot of the talk coming out, Marco, is that, you know, as we've been saying on the show, maybe your boy Cowboy is just there for the paycheck. I mean, he likes the fighting, but I don't know if he can get it done. Marco, what were your thoughts on the main event of UFC Fight Night 158, brother?
I'm not going to shit on Cowboy because he always comes to freaking swing. I mean, but you're going to get Justin Gaethje. I mean, everybody said he was so measured and composed and patient. He still hit Cowboy with 41 significant strikes on the first round, dude. 41.
Yeah.
To Cowboy 17. Now, that's about what Cowboy averaged on the first round anyway. 17 to 20 significant strikes in the first round. He needs a warm-up. And we talked.
That's a good round for him, yeah.
It's a good round for him. He hit Gagne with some good shots, man. But Gagne got that freaking nuclear bomb with a right hand, and once he connected, it was over. It was cool to see that he didn't want to punish Cabo more, because, you know, they are homeboys. I'm not going to give the referee that much of a hard time. He just wanted to make sure that there was not going to be any argument about the decision, the stoppage. So you get a couple more and you stop it, and he did. So I'm not going to problem with the stoppage. I don't think it was too late. I don't think it was early. I think it was just right. But that's just my opinion. Gagne, he has to either fight the Irishman that is retired or wait for the window of Tony versus Khabib. So there is nobody else in front of him. Don't take anybody behind you, because they don't count. And Cowboy, let's have some fun fights, man. At 170 or 155, I mean, Cowboy versus the winner of the BMS title, either Nate Diaz or rematch or freaking Jorge Masvidal, take my money. You know, Donald Cerrone doesn't need to be a champion to be a popular fighter. And when he shows up, you know he's given us another fight. Great for Gagne. He has become a star on everybody's, all the hardcore's eyes. The mainstream needs to start knowing who Gagne is. And what can I say, man? The guy's impressive. Three knockouts in the first round in his last three fights. There is no arguing that Gagne is not a contender anymore.
I think that what you're saying, Marco,
everybody,
I mean,
everybody getting abducted. Just a minute.
Yeah, everybody's getting abducted tonight. I think that, you know, what you're saying is that, you know, Gagne is definitely a very, very talented individual. And, of course, Pammy, I think we've talked about this on this show, that Gagne, we weren't too on his hype train at the beginning when he was moving over from the now PFL, but World Series of Fighting, of course, was where he was fighting. And I think he's kind of adjusted his game. But, again, Pam, I'm not trying to dilute your comments, so why don't you go ahead and tell us what you thought about the main event, brother?
Well, I liked Cowboy's Omni Huckleberry outfit. He looked pretty good.
Right.
Somebody said, why is he dressed like the Tapatio man? Tapatio is a salsa. But anyway, you know,
yeah.
I was impressed by Justin. I mean, how can you not like Cowboy? You know, I like Cowboy. Cowboy's cool. He is and will always be a fan favorite. But y'all remember back in the day when I kept telling y'all, you guys need to check this guy out. Oh, my God, he's amazing, blah, 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 blah. And that was my Justin. But I am just so pleased for him. I'm so happy for him. I hope that he gets the winner of Tony Ferguson or, you know, Khabib.
Yeah.
Fuck Connor.
Yeah, whatever happens. I mean, there's no – this is what I mean. Like, the waters are so muddy. Like, why even pay attention to the UFC now? No one knows what's going to happen next. DJ Tony, I digress. What did you have going on here in the main event, and what did you think about it, brother?
Who the fuck is that guy?
All three of you, brother.
Everyone's brother, including, of course, our sister, Pam. Here's the thing, you guys. I don't think anyone, to be fair, right, to be fair to Pam and everybody, I think we all knew who Justin Gagne was. But the problem is he's fighting at least the last two fights, right? He's fighting he's a totally different fighter, guys, in terms of just not taking the same amount of damage. Now, if you see that Donald Cerrone fight, he will go back into it. And he got popped a couple of times, at least once. So sometimes he does go back. I think it's ingrained in him that he will fight a certain way, but I think he's too smart for that. At least I hope he's smarter than that.
I think
a fight between him and Connor would be great. I don't think that's going to happen. That would be an excellent fight. Maybe, right? But I think Cerrone is clearly there for the money. Everyone loves Cowboy. I don't think anyone dislikes Cowboy. I don't think anyone dislikes Gagne. But listen, Gagne is younger. He's he's at a different level right now in terms of he's going up. Cerrone's going down. I think we saw what we thought we were going to see, and I think it played off perfectly. without an eye poke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought that everybody got to do their stuff in this particular fight. When, just quickly, when I saw Pammy, when I saw Cowboy in the Huckleberry outfit, we all know, if you don't know what we're talking about, please go back and watch some kind of cinema. You know what we're talking about, Tombstone, yeah. Again, I think when I saw that.
You were going to, what did he say?
It was definitely not the Untouchables.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, okay. I'm sorry. Right?
You need to bury your head on the sun right now, Tony. Bury your head on the sun and don't show up for a minute.
This show is going to need a bunch of editing.
I love this train wreck. I love it when those are the best shows we got when it's a total train wreck. I love it.
Oh, I love it. Sure. I can go to the back.
All right. So, anyways, look, I think that we saw what Donald Cerrone can do for the UFC. I think that he can stay in this role of commentator or backstage interviewer in his, Texas outfits or his cowboy outfits. I think that's what's perfect for Donald Cerrone. Let him, run his mouth. Of course, if we're going to be on ESPN, we're going to have to bleep, 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 because Donald Cerrone likes to swear a little bit. Apparently, so does Justin Gaethje. Shout out to the amped versions of the post-fight interviews and also the post-fight in-cage interviews, also amped. DJ Tony, you're the man. Listen, Donald Cerrone kind of showing his age here, I think, guys. I think that, we need to let Donald Cerrone kind of go off into the sunset, guys. No word of a lie. I think that he's going to be tough. He wants to get to 50 fights, guys, but I don't know that he's going to be able to. I think we need to Chuck Liddell him and kind of save him from himself, because I don't want to see Donald Cerrone not be able to do what DC is doing right now and take advantage of being a really good talker and a really good talker about fights. Donald Cerrone, you showed up, you did your Donald Cerrone thing, but Justin Gaethje, I think, is improving DJ Tony, and I did in the past. I was worried about Justin Gaethje in the UFC. Two fights ago, I was worried about Justin Gaethje in the UFC. He seems, with Trevor Whitman, to be changing his game and being a little bit more thoughtful about what he's doing. Let's move on to the co-main event real quickly, because as Pam mentioned, Glover Teixeira put a fucking spike into every single everybody's wheel on this one. We all thought that Nikita Krylov was going to be able to get this one done, but of course it goes the distance, three rounds. And Glover Teixeira, for most people's opinion, Marco, looked like he put it on Krylov. So what are your thoughts, brother? Quickly.
It was a split decision.
I know.
It could have gone either way. It could have gone either way. I thought Glover won.
But it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't. So, I don't want to talk about
it. Wait a second. You did think that Glover won? Yeah?
Yes, I saw that Glover won. But I don't want to talk about this fight, because the most important fight this night was Boondog versus Pereira. Pereira taking 6 minutes to get to the cage, then dancing around. Then break dancing when they're announcing him. 3 minutes of freaking jumping like a spider monkey all over the cage. And then to blow his load. And this kid, Boondog, I don't remember his name. I remember his nickname.
Chris Connolly.
Chris Connolly, thank you. In outstanding fashion, getting the standing ovation, winning the fight of the night double bonus, $100,000 on his pocket on his debut, plus 20% of Pereira's freaking purse, plus his win and show and win bonus. Dude, what a great freaking, what a manner to freaking debut on the UFC. On your hometown, in front of your people, a standing ovation for the night, and actually showing off Pereira. I like Pereira. I think the acrobatics are cool, but it's a time and a place for them. And if you're going to freaking waste all your energy just getting to the cage, never mind the fact that he missed weight by 1 pound. You are doing like
he said he had to lose 40 pounds for this fight, Marco.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Okay. Yeah, 38 pounds. Yeah.
38 pounds. But give me
Fuck
1 second.
That.
If you get the energy to do backflips and keep-ups on the freaking ceremonial weigh-ins, you got the thing you just should have used a little less energy to lose that one extra pound. And I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to say that 38 pounds is not anything. Like the guy used to fight at 185 for crying out, but don't waste all the energy before the fight because you got he got exposed, showing off.
But he did win the dance off.
Boondock is a 155er. He didn't cut any weight. He had to cut no weight.
Right.
And he showed him off.
Right.
Good job for Boondock, man. So happy
and
for the guy.
And he accepted it. He accepted on the week's notice.
Yeah. 5 day notice. 5 days. What a freaking Cinderella story.
I stand corrected.
So happy for the dude. And Pereira, if you want to stay on the UFC, cut up on the antics and a little less clowning and a little more fighting.
Move
well,
up
I was
and
kind
wake.
Of laughing.
Hashtag, move up and wake.
I was kind of a little bit laughing at the end where he was actually thinking that he won the fight. Either that or he was pretending he did that. Or he was pretending. Because I was like, you did not really think that you won that fight. Really.
All right. So one thing I had to say, it reminded me of the Axe body spray commercial where the guy is doing a bunch of flips and shit and the guy just punches him in the face. Anyway, moving to the co-main event. I thought it was going to end that way, but it didn't. But anyways, moving to the co-main event. Do you want to talk about the co-main event, DJ Tony, or do you want to talk about Piera as well?
You know what? Can I just say my little thing on the demolition
sure
man, Michael Pereira, when it's in the middle of the piece, it's different. I don't know. Well, I don't know why we can't just do European Portuguese, why we have to do Brazilian Portuguese, because that's a lot tougher for me. But
they're special.
Absolutely. Here's the thing, Proteus. He is 6'1", once, and he has to cut 38 pounds. Like you were saying, just move up in weight and stop doing all those antics.
Exactly.
We already know he's athletic, but, man, if he's going to be doing this, you know how the NFL stands for not for long? That's what the UFC is going to stand for, because if he's going to keep doing this, it's going to bomb.
You know what?
Well, the thing is, if you're going to do it, at least win.
Hang on. Marco first, then Pam.
One quick thing. I am mad at Pereira because she took all the backflip quotas that the UFC allowed. We didn't get to see Justin Gaethje do his backflip of the cage when he won. Pereira took all the freaking backflips.
Pammy, I know you got your word in, but do you want to go ahead and put something in?
Oh, no, I'm just saying to share a book this up. I think I even messaged Tony. I'm
anyways.
Like, he fucked this up. So, but good for him.
Congratulations.
You know, good.
Yeah.
Yep. Good for him. Right on. But I kind of liked the crazy. I was hoping something crazy would come out of the craziness, and I was kind of disappointed when he gassed out. I'm like, man, all that. You know, it's like you know when you're expecting like great sex with somebody, and it's like not even 2 seconds. Like what? That's the same thing. Alternative facts.
Dynamite. Exactly. Right? I'm actually going to talk about the Glover Teixeira fight for a second.
I thought you were actually going to talk about that.
You were wrong.
No, I heard what you said. All right, guys. Well, I mean, good on Glover Teixeira. And, of course, him and DC shared a moment because they're both old guys that I keep winning. Thanks very much. And I just wanted to mention real quickly that the fighters' benefits or the fighters' rights are coming up again in the state of California. I had planned to talk to DJ Tony about this, but we are out of time. We'll try and do that on the next show. Maybe a little bit more will unfold. So let's go ahead and get out of here. I'm going to give everybody, because we haven't done this in like 3 weeks, Pammy, let's start with you. If you have a Twitter follow of the week or if you've got a guilty pleasure, give it to us because we need to get out of here and give it to us fast.
You know what? My Twitter follow of the week, Nate Diaz, because the pre-sale tickets went on sale today. Nate Diaz, 209. Holler at your boy.
Holler at everybody, yeah. DJ Tony, if you've got a guilty pleasure, you got a song of the week, what you got, brother?
You know what? I'm actually just going to make a Twitter poll.
Even if you
want to
talk about the California thing real quick, brother, if you want to talk about the California thing real quick, that's cool.
Well, I'll just say this. I'll make it quick on this. And Proteus and I, maybe we'll do a show on this separate. But
yeah.
If you look at all the stuff of what makes a contractor, right, is they make their own hours. Ding, UFC has that. They don't have to wear a uniform. They don't. They are not subject to specific pay. Where that happens,
okay.
I mean, everything that you want to look at makes a fighter basically an employee. So that'll be interesting. But maybe we'll get a chance to chat about that later. But follow Alexa Grasso at Alexa Grasso at Alexa _ Grasso on the IG. She does have all the potential to be a future star.
All right. I'm going to give you guys a Proteus's shower pick. I'm going to, again, point at Nut of Leviscaris. I mean, the whole album from 2017 is really good. Urn is the name of the album. Listen to it. If you don't want to listen to it, go fuck yourselves. All right, Marco, go ahead. What do you got, brother?
Ow! So,
what?
I got two quick guilty pleasures. The Box of Oddities,
yeah,
the Box of Oddities podcast with Kat and Jethro Gilligan Todd. Really cool show. They tell stories, each other stories that are weird tales that are mostly real. They're all fact-checked, like newspaper, historical records or whatever. So check that out. It's just a guilty pleasure. It's entertaining, comes twice a week. Also, Cody Lee, Blind Autistic Kick on America Got Talent. He got so many millions of views on YouTube. Check him out. The finals are today. We get the results. If this kid doesn't win, there is nothing wrong with the war because Nicky got more talent in stinky finger than anybody else on that talent show. Follow Tony at DJ Tony. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow Pana Pandora Box. Follow Producer at Produce. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. We're on review at Snacklehead. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio. Give us a good rating, you know, a nice comment. Buy some Mexico this weekend. It's on ESPN Plus and TSN up there in Canada. If you don't want to watch it the same day, you can watch it the next day because it's on ESPN Plus. The streaming, the whole thing. We'll leave you guys. Send you guys a treat. Enjoy the fun.
And also on Spotify nowadays. We'll see you next week for Hermanson versus Cannoneer, which is next week. And
yes,
just like that, Tammy.
Ya nos vamos, adiós.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.